And the guy said, Microsoft something or other. And I said, I just got a phone call. Oh, yeah. He said, you know, same spiel. And he said, well, how much did you have? I said, $1,500. So he says, well, okay, are you sitting in front of your computer? And I said, why do I need you to do that? Why don't you just send me the money back? He said, well, I can't do that. You have to sit in front of your computer. I said, well, I'm not going to give you any free information. Get off. So, you know, you got to love these people, Clark.
Yeah, I had a similar one maybe a year ago. I wrote a shop, a
1,000 people, they might get one or two or three. So whenever you're getting those kind of things on the phone, check them out. Tammy?
The last one that's really catching everybody recently is PayPal or Microsoft will call you, which they never will.
Yeah.
So if anybody says they're Microsoft or PayPal or Google or anything like that, they'll never call you. That's my promise. They're not going to call you.
Nope.
But they call you and say that you're owed a refund.
So yeah.
Instead of you owing them money, now they're catching people. We owe you a refund. You paid too much when you bought your computer and your operating system. You paid too much for it, so we want to refund you the $50 or $75. And they're using a low amount. If you send us, and then they want your banking information.
Oh, yeah.
So just don't. Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, they will not call you, I promise.
That's, no, that's why they want to get on your computer. You turn it over to them, and they can clean you out.
And they had everything.
Yep. So whatever it is, don't fall for it.
Yeah.
Play them along and see what happens. Isabel.
We had like a Microsoft call 7 times in one day.
Oh, really?
And each time I got a little less kind. And the last time, I said, listen, you're not Microsoft, so this is a scam. You will not be connected to my computer. No, I said, this is a scam. He says, I know it. I said, you won't be connected to my computer. I just put it on your papers. You've called Grumpy 7 times. It's too many today. Don't call again.
Should have told him.
But he actually did. But I said, this is a scam. He says, I know it.
Should have told him, listen, the first one cleaned me out. I have nothing left. Anyway, Psalm 2 tonight. We had looked at Psalm 1. Tonight we're looking at Psalm 1. We're not going to look at all 12 verses, but then over the next couple of Wednesday nights, well, next Wednesday night, Brother Jim will be preaching. But as we'll get through the first couple of verses here tonight, Lord willing, the question is, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my kingdom upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for their possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Looking tonight at a message, Freedom's Dark Side. And Freedom is not free. Freedom is never free, as there is always a price to be paid, not only in the obtaining of freedom, but also in the maintenance of that freedom. It is the cornerstone of a democracy for which many have given the ultimate sacrifice in terms of life and wealth. The American Revolution was to sever ties with the King of England and their tariffs and their taxes and whatever else. Kind of wish we could kind of set D.C. adrift. It might be nice, but we can't. So anyway, but many of them who were wealthy lost all their wealth in that American Revolution. Many lost their lives. And so it was in the War of 1812. We can look in the World War One, World War Two. We can look in the Korean conflict, Vietnam. So many have lost lives, and others have come back from them with broken bodies, missing limbs. Freedom is not cheap, and it is not free. It gives freedoms, but it is not free. It is that which used to stir the human heart, because in a dark world there are few who understand how blessed we are because we are free people. This country is moving further and further towards socialism, the socialism that has destroyed and has ruined Europe, who has ruined Venezuela and a number of other countries as well. And you know what? These dead brains don't get it. The Ocasio-Cortezes of the world, the Bernie Sanders, I don't know why they think that they can do a better job than anyone else has ever done before, because it's never worked anywhere. Ever, never has. But anyway, freedom is a double-edged sword. The same freedom that gives the right to gather and to worship, to preach the word of God, is the same freedom exercised by the corrupt and the wicked enemies of liberty as well. I don't think our founding fathers would have ever thought that there would be a day that when the people of America would actually use these liberties, these freedom of the press and freedom of speech and so on, to undo all the real freedoms that we have. But they're being used against us. The rest of the world understands that. Muslims understand that. They're over here and they're claiming that the rights that we were born with, to use them against us, and will eventually use it to destroy us. So other nations of people will come to the United States and abuse the freedoms that we have to take away the freedoms of others in that process. Now, as surely as freedom is one of the world's greatest blessings, it can also be the deadliest and the worst curses to visit on humanity. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we can just turn there, we'll be back to... Oh, I've been jumping around here a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, looking at verse 9, the scripture says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." So he was warning them that not to abuse or to misuse this liberty to control other people in the process. And that's exactly what Paul was concerned about. Now, in the second psalm has been referred to as the psalm of the Antichrist, because it deals with the darker side of freedom or liberty that is used for evil intentions rather than the liberty to do the thing that's right. Liberty or freedom as it is abused by the fools is what we're witnessing even today. So we look here, first of all, tonight, the freedom to reject one's salvation. That's the liberty that you have. Everybody, God says you don't want to get saved. That's your choice. That's your decision. You have the freedom to do that. But when we make choices, choices always have consequences. So we look at Psalm 1, Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? Is an interesting question, which greets us as we read this psalm. Why do the heathen rage? What is their motive? Really, you look at the what's going on these last couple of elections, whether you're talking about the election of 2016 or you look at the midterm elections here, there is a tremendous amount of rage. Full-grown adults didn't get their way, and so they sit down there on the curb and suck on their thumbs and cry like a bunch of babies because they didn't get what they wanted the way they thought it should go. Well, the word rage means a commotion. It means a tumult. So why do the heathen rage? What's all the commotion? What's all the tumult about? Well, if we're going to be honest and admit it is exactly what we have been witnessing these last 18 years or so, especially with the elections. But when it comes to salvation, why all the commotion? Why all the tumult of the public prayer and the Bible reading and the street evangelism, or the mad rage to wipe our schools of any vestiges of God or of Christ or of Christianity or even the Bible? The world hates God and the world hates the gospel. Sinners do not like it. In fact, you probably didn't like it before you were saved. Now, you may have been raised in an environment where maybe the Bible was a part of your house, but before you get saved, what was your attitude towards the Bible? You probably didn't have much time for it, didn't have much use for it. And if you had one, it probably sat on a shelf under piles of dust or something along the line. But the reason few people choose to get saved is that most are convinced that they are all right as they are, and they do not need to be saved. Saved from what? I'm a good person. And I don't beat my wife, and I don't kick the dog, and I don't starve. I got bird feeders out in my backyard. I feed the birds, and when the turkeys come through my backyard, I don't see something the turkeys out there or whatever. I'm a good person. I show up at work on time. I give 8 hours worth of work. And there's a lot of people out there who are really genuinely laboring under the fact that I haven't killed anybody. I break for squirrels or whatever. Well, some teach, and they are convinced that baptism or baptismal regeneration is necessary if one's going to get saved. Remember when Paul brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then as soon as he had preached that, then in came the Judaizers and said, okay, listen, all you Gentiles who got saved, supposedly under Paul's message there, you had to become a Jew first. And they began to teach that Judaism was that open gateway to salvation. You had to become a Jew first, then you could get saved. Well, you know, all that kind of garbage. John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Some are convinced that church membership or good works is enough. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 is very clear that no one is ever saved by works. The Roman Catholic Church teaches the sacraments are sufficient to earn God's grace. All you have to go through is the various stations, and if you've ever been, I was never in Roman Catholicism, but I have known many Roman Catholics over the years. I've actually gone through the Baltimore Catechism just to kind of find out what it is that they're teaching there. But all the things they teach there are just simply church doctrine that have very little origin, if any, in the Word of God itself. In fact, you probably find some of the things that they practice in those things had their roots and origins in paganism and heathenism before it did in Catholicism. It was just borrowed and brought over. So let's remember, people are not choosing to remain lost. They're lost because they're born that way. A lot of people don't realize that. They think that, if I do something bad, then I've lost any hope. Well, the truth of the matter is you don't have any hope. Well, you do have hope, I'm sorry. But you're born in a hopeless situation unless you come to the person of Jesus Christ. So John chapter 3, we can turn there. And the Gospel of John chapter 3 is very clear. Okay, I'm getting there. Looking in verse 18. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned what? Already born that way. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be what? Be reproved. Do you ever wonder why backslidden Christians don't go to church on a regular basis, or why backslidden Christians don't get in the Word of God? Because if they do, they're going to be reproved. They're going to be rebuked because of what they're doing in their lives. And so church is one of the last places they want to be. In the Bible is the next last place they want to be. Around Christians is another place they don't want to be very often. So it goes on and it says there, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, in verse 21, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And you really look at these several verses here, but especially 21, is why the Christian needs to have a transparent testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be opaque about it. We don't have to be hiding it behind whatever it is that we try to hide it behind and then kind of bushwhack somebody along the way. Oh, by the way, yeah, I am a Christian too. We need to be transparent that they can see what God is doing in and through our lives. So, secondly tonight, there is freedom to adopt worldly philosophies. This is one of the reasons why, as Christian parents, we need to be very careful and work very closely with our children. Don't assume that when you send them out of the house, whether they're going with their friends or whether they're going to a public school system, and I'm going to be honest with you, you've got to be careful about Christian schools. You've heard me say before, I have been around Christian education since my oldest son started kindergarten in Lowell Bucks Christian Academy in Lowell Bucks in Humeville, Pennsylvania. And over the years, I've learned some things. Now that my daughter is a school Christian school administrator, I'm actually appalled at what I see going on in a lot of Christian schools. I am working on another degree in Christian administration. And I think to myself, why would I ever want to go into something like that in real life? Not that I don't enjoy the learning process, but I can now more fully understand why my oldest son, Ron, walked away from a Christian school administration. When you have to put up with the, how do I want to say that and be kind and generous, petty parents, petty students, and sometimes petty school boards, and go to school day in and day out and have to face all that criteria. I don't believe that the Christian schools are what they once used to be. They may be better than the typical public school. But there's even some Christian colleges out there that were once Christian in practice that are now nothing more than Christians in name, and that's it. So we got to be very careful about philosophies. In fact, Paul warns us about those things. Psalm 2, chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" The word imagine is to devise. Why do they devise these things that they devise? Why do they think the way that they think? Why do they have to something alternative to in the beginning God? Isn't in the beginning God sufficient enough? Well, not for a lost world. Now, considering this world's contempt for God and his righteousness, and we can bear that out in the book of Romans chapter 1, there is an absolute contempt for God. In Romans chapter 1, looking just at verse 21 and a couple verses there, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." That means they were making a conscious choice, a conscious decision. They were, I believe, in their heart of hearts convinced that there was a God, but that was going to interfere with their desires, their thoughts, their reasonings. It was going to interfere with their ways. And so he says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, it says they became vain in their imaginations. We're right back to where it said in Romans there that, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" So there is a recurring theme that goes through the scriptures when it comes to the lost people. So considering this world's contempt, as we read on another verse here in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And this is how they became a fool. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, when we consider the world's contempt, we see that they are willing to believe any alternative, whether it makes sense or not. Evolution gives man absolutely no hope for anything. There's not an ounce of hope in evolution. There's not an ounce of hope in any alternative to in the beginning God. Because if in the beginning God, then there is a God. And if there is a God, then he is a loving God and will give us the directions that we need to go. He will save us. He will redeem us. So what might some of these imagined but vain ideas be that are being proffered or offered to ourselves when we were in school? But even more so now, they've become a lot more adamant about it in public school system all the way through from the time they're kindergartners all the way through to college years. You let the TV babysit for your children, and they're going to get inundated with pantheism and evolutionism, all these wonderful little dinosaurs and all these things that see these little cute cartoons in there. Behind all that is the subtle teaching of evolution. Disney World is one of the worst. And all their cute little movies that they put out there are not so cute doctrinally. So evolution, though which of the 600 or so ideas that has been proffered for evolution has been a favorite since the 1800s and is often used in an attempt to discredit the Word of God. Secondly, there's the Big Bang Theory, in which we are to believe that nothing, given time and chance, came into being. I've never seen anything, just nothing explode. If nothing's there, how's it going to explode? If there is nothing, then there must be nothing there, and I don't know how nothing can become something, even if you give it all the time in the world. I mean, doesn't that really sound stupid? I mean, it really sounds, and there's other people, I mean, you have these mushheads that go off to a lot of these colleges, I think Odie is about all those people, don't you? They're kind of mush brains. Nothing became something. That's not even scientifically possible. It can't even be scientifically proven. And yet they suck it up like a sponge. Rush is right when he calls them sponge brains. Anyway, false, fake gospels exist that have no divine origins whatsoever, like the gospel of Judas. The gospel of Judas is about how the Lord actually asked Judas to betray him. And being the good friend that Judas was, is exactly what he did. Oh, you've got the book, the Apocrypha, Bell, Esther, whatever it is they've got in the middle of their, some of those Bibles out that way. But it's amazing, you know what? In some of these companies that are putting out these newer translations, they're using some of that material, and they're offering those materials in those books. It's just some metal, anyway. Of course, then there's the swoon theory, that Christ didn't actually die, but he passed out. I have a feeling that when that soldier took that spear and water and blood gushed out, that he might have just come awake real quick. So if he didn't die from the crucifixion, he certainly died from the spear anyway. But he was dead by that time anyway. The Bible says it very clear. But again, you know, it's the idea that people are willing and ready to buy into anything that's an alternative to the truth. One after another, they're proffered. The Da Vinci Code. Christ married Mary Magdalene, and they had children. It's never ending. It just goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. Why would anyone be so quick? Why would anybody be so willing to accept and believe such wacky imaginations? But that's all they are. They're just imaginations. Vain at that. There's no truth to them. They're empty, completely empty. Because as lost individuals in search for anything but the truth, which is so plain, so absolutely sensible, means that they would have to be accountable to a holy and a righteous God. For some, it's a matter of pride. Others, it's just willful ignorance. They have the Bible and they can compare line upon line and precept upon precept with all that's out there, and they'll see that whatever is out there doesn't make any sense compared to what the Bible has to say. So as foolish and deadly as it is, folks are free to reject the only source of hope, salvation by faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They are free, again, as foolish as it is, to buy into worldly, empty, vain philosophies. And folks, I'm telling you, you watch your children, those who still have young children at home, because there's a lot of silly philosophies that are out there. And we're warned by Paul, as I said earlier, that we're to be careful about these vain philosophies that are out there. It's important that we teach our children while we're young. So that's all as far as I wanted to get tonight, because I didn't want to get into point number two. It's going to be longer, and we won't get a prayer time in tonight. And it's dark, and it's cold out there, and people want to go home early, right? If you have heated blanket, then just turn it on before you come to church. When you get home, it'll be ready. Just slide right in. You'll be ready to go. Amen. So anyway, very quickly, in our prayer list here, we've got the Parkers are not here tonight. They're probably getting ready to head out Thursday or Friday. Her dad passed away. She said he was saved. He's gone home to be with the Lord. So we rejoice in that at least he is saved. And so they're going to be traveling, I think, Friday. Then they have family coming in from Florida. They got family coming in from down at PCC. That is with hopefully being able to pick up Lydia and Mary Lynn to bring them up to Pennsylvania. So be much in prayer. A lot of logistics and a lot of weather moving up the East Coast. So hopefully we'll get down and we'll weave our way through it till we get down into Connecticut and we can hunker in for the night and be nice and safe for a couple of days anyway. Otherwise, we're all going to have to go to Tom's mom and dad's and spend the weekend there. Hey, guess what, Mom? We got a couple vans full of people here coming to stay with you for the week. So, and Brother Jim, since you're not going, you'll have to preach Sunday because we'll be down there. But anyway, pray for the weather as we head out down there as well. Ron says little snow is supposed to be Thursday night, but we should be there well settled in before that ever happens and so on. So it's that time of the year. You got to expect it. Amen. So are there any other prayer requests here? It's good to have the Hall family with us all the way from Maryland. They're like a comet. They come up every year. One of these days they're going to crash and stay right here. Right? Anyway, any other prayer requests? Do we got here? Tom.
An old friend from Bristol, who I just found out, I mean, he's had several different issues. He's had some cancer, he's had different things, but I just heard yesterday that he has to have one kidney removed.
Mm.
So his name is Bob Charette, and so we just pray for him.
So that's Bob, is his first name? All right. Any other requests we need? Okay, if not, then Brother Jim, get us on these long-term requests. Appreciate that. I'm sorry, Tony. Yeah, his first name would be?
Charlie.
Charlie? My son does have a chemo tomorrow. And I think after that, he's got four more to go through that. So be much in prayer for Ron and that. Appreciate that. So Brother Jim on the long terms. Justin, way back there on these pregnancies. And Candace is still doing well? Good, all right, amen. Spiritual growth. Tom, would you have these here? I'm not sure how Mike Doolin is doing. He did slip, or he fell in his house, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't see either one of them here tonight. So I'm not sure where the condition is there. I think she was she here last night for Bible study? Or?
Yes.
She was, okay. Salvations. Steve, would you get these salvations for me? All right, I'll do the prayer requests here on the backside, the long terms there, and missionaries of the month. Jack, would you get those for us?
Sure.
And Clark, would you hit these? My son-in-law, Jeff, will be preaching a week from this Sunday in the evening. And there will be a search committee that will be there to listen to him to preach, see if they want to extend an invitation for him to come and preach at their church as well. So just be much in prayer for, I think it's his birthday is also this month. And so it's not fun to be out of work, at least not where your heart would rather be. So I'll be much in prayer for that there, if you would. So, all right, Brother Jim.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your blessings and your prayer, Lord, that your will be done on these long-term requests. Father, we pray that you meet the physical and the spiritual needs and just have your will and way in each and every one of their lives. Lord, we pray for a revival in the hearts of God's people and our legislators. We just pray, Father, that you'd meet those needs according to your will. And Lord, for Clark's eyes to remain benign, continue being benign, we just pray, Father, that your will be done there. Then, Lord, for Lorraine, for continuing to struggle with her health issues, Father, we pray that you meet her physical and spiritual needs. And then, Lord, for Danny Rawson, Lord, we pray for his muscular dystrophy and the related problems to that. We pray, Lord, that your will be done and meet his needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Linda, as she deals with her health issues, Father, you know that each and every one of them. So, Father, we pray that you meet those needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Rosa, for her foot pain, her heart and her eyes and her diabetes control, we pray, Father, that you just have your will and way there in her life to meet all these needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Sophie, we pray for her, for a serious ongoing health issue. We pray, Father, that you continue to be her needs according to your will. And then, Lord, baby, we pray that her parents will come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. Then, Lord, for Dan Charlton, we pray for meetings and for his financial needs for his ministry. We pray, Father, you continue meeting his needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Johnny S. as he serves the city of Burlington, we pray, Father, that you put a hedge of protection around him and all the other police officers, Lord, that they just they're willing to lay down their lives to protect us. So, Father, we pray that the hedge of protection would be around them. And then, Lord, for Sarah Hopkins' dad, for his salvation and health issues, we pray, Father, that you'd meet those needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Joshua B., for his health issues, we pray, Father, that you continue meeting his needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Clark's friend John, who has the abdominal problems, we pray, Father, that you meet his needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for the sale of Westbury Park, we pray, Lord, that you give them wisdom and discernment for concerning this transaction. We just pray, Father, that everything will transpire, will be according to your will, and then have your will and way there. And, Father, we pray again for our pastor and his family. We pray, Lord, you'll continue meeting their physical, their spiritual, and their financial needs. And then, Lord, we pray for our church family, Lord, that you'll continue meeting their needs according to your will day by day. Now, Lord, have your will and way. And we just ask you to bless, meet all these needs now. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name.
Lord, in the area of pregnancy needs, Lord, we lift up before you Candace B., Lord. We lift up before you her salvation, Lord. We pray for opportunities to witness to her during this pregnancy, Lord. Help us to give out the gospel, Lord, and help her to be receptive to it, Lord. We ask for you to please be with her doctors and nurses. Give them the wisdom that they need to make a good, sound decisions, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all the blessings that you've already given her, Lord, and we'll continue to. We also lift up before the Burlington Care Net Pregnancy Center, Lord. We just ask for, as the year comes to an end, Lord, just meet all their needs physically and spiritually, Lord, just to meet all their operating expenses through donations, Lord. And we just pray for a great outpouring of volunteers to meet their needs and just command their ships, Lord. And we just pray for lives to be saved and hearts to be changed in and through their ministry, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity that they have to give out the gospel each day and to those who hear it, to be receptive to it, Lord, and your will to be accomplished. We also lift up before you Christian families who are considering foster parenting or adopting, Lord. I think of my brother who adopted a six-year-old today, Lord. I just thank you so much for all those different opportunities that you give. Lord, and we just ask for you to continue to bless those that choose to do your will for their lives. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that you do. In your son's name we pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your willingness to incline our ear to us, Lord, when we come to you in prayer. And, Lord, we pray that you'll help each one of us to grow spiritually and come closer to your Son each and every day, Lord. But tonight we think particularly of some of these folks on our list that have fallen away. And Lord, I just pray that tonight that you would touch their hearts and turn them back and draw them close to you, Lord. We think of Elizabeth and Susanna and Tommy H. We pray for Chris S. and Jason S., Victoria B. and Jerry Q. We raise up to you tonight, Lord, Justin P. and Brittany and Sandy S., Jordan H. and John M. We pray for Gail R. and her daughter. We think of Jacob C. and Keith D. We lift up to you Andrea and Chelsea P., Emily H. and John B. Lord, pray that you prick their hearts, Lord, and have them turn back to you and recognize their need for to be under your veil, Lord, under your, and to be under your wing, Lord, to receive your loving kindness and your hedge of protection, Lord. We ask for each one of these souls, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask all these things.
The Father, as we continue before you tonight, Lord, there is no greater need than that of salvation. There is no greater need, Lord, than that of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But, Father, there are so many folks tonight, named here tonight, that, Lord, perhaps don't know about
Jesus Christ. Perhaps have never heard about Jesus Christ, or perhaps have gotten themselves so wrapped up in one of the vain philosophies that are lauded and touted by the world, by the education system, by the governments, and by any and all who would oppose you looking for any alternative than what is right. So, Father, for each one of these tonight, God, we're asking that by your grace and through your Holy Spirit that Father, you would work out circumstances and situations so that, Lord, you might get through the blinders and the hard-heartedness and the stiff-neckedness of each one of these souls, Father, that, Lord, more and more of these would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, tonight I want to lift up by name and pray for Walt and Sharon and Todd and pray for Jeff and Jan and Travis. Father, we pray for Patty and Corey B. We pray for Austin and Kenny. Lord, we also pray tonight for Cindy and Paul and for Sheena and for Sarah. Father, we pray for Tyler and Danny and Paul F. and Jim P. Nathan and Gary. Lord, we also lift up to you Jeff and Mike and Stephen T. and Liz and Sean. Father, also we pray for Beverly M., for Bob, for Mike and Tara B., for Joe B. Lord, we also hold up before you Jake, Mark H. and his family, Chris H., Jacob. Father, and I would also add Jesse M., Dana H. Lord, I'm sure there's each one of us here tonight might be able to add a name or two or more to this list of those who need salvation, who need Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us when we take Jesus Christ for granted. Lord, help us to be more diligent about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that perhaps anyone that we come across, Lord, might get a glimpse of the hope that lies in Christ. And we ask it now in Jesus' name.
Father, as we continue, we think of Brother Jim tonight. Lord, as Brother Jim and Rosa celebrate their 54th anniversary, Father, we thank you for their testimony. And Lord, as a husband and wife, walking in and together and serving the Lord together. And Lord, we realize that there are some believers who have even gotten off the starting blocks, let alone 54 years of serving together as a husband and wife. But Father, we also help us to all realize that in our lives, that walking together hand in hand with the Lord strengthens commitment we have one toward another and to our brothers and sisters as well. Father, bless them on this time of their anniversary, and Father, continue to give to Brother Jim and Rosa, who are dealing with various ailments, but Lord, we think of the diabetes, and so Lord, give them many years, and Lord, we need them in our midst. We need to have the encouragement, and so Father, bless them and meet their needs. Lord, for our live streaming, we do thank you that, Lord, there are people who are listening and that are coming online from around the world. Lord, we realize that not very many out of our world population, but Lord, to just see that, Lord, your spirit is moving in certain hearts here and there is exciting for us. Lord, to be a part of this, to be used by you to get the gospel out, may we continue to do so. Lord, may we realize that there's so much, this is so much bigger than who we are, that we might always be the servants that you'd have us to be, remaining true to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for spiritual growth of our young people. And Lord, we realize that it doesn't matter whether they're at the mall or whether they're just hanging out with their friends. Lord, where it is that they are in school, wherever it is that they're attending school, whether it's college or otherwise, Lord, we realize that there's just so much foolishness that exists out there that, Lord, may the Holy Spirit just work resoundingly inside their hearts to keep them on the straight and the narrow. Lord, may they realize that the cost and the price of doing business with the devil, Father, it's more than they could possibly imagine. Lord, may they remain true and faithful to you as your Spirit guides and directs them. Lord, wherever it is that they might be getting involved in that is, Lord, not pleasing in your sight, Lord, may it be discovered. Lord, may it not be done as they might think in some secret corner. But Lord, make it known to the parents. Make it known to their leadership. Lord, we pray for Mike and his legs and, Lord, the equilibrium there. And Father, we pray for Jack as well, Lord, knowing that both of them have leg and feet problems that are extremely serious. We pray that, Lord, you guide and direct. Lord, be able to pace themselves. Lord, keep them aware of their surroundings. Lord, we would love to see healing take place. But again, Lord, we realize that you always have a purpose and you have a will that brings them in contact with people they might not otherwise be in contact with. But Father, through it all, may others come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we think of our officers, our EMT personnel, and firemen. We pray that you guide and direct, and Lord, meet all their needs. Keep them safe. Lord, as they're out and about serving their communities, we think of our college students, finances, and Lord, many of them are coming up on midterms. And so, Father, we pray that whatever monies are necessary to get bills paid off so they can meet their finals exams, or, Father, that be able to go back the next semester. We just pray that, Father, you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they might be able to accomplish what you've called them to do. Lord, we think of Nellie tonight. We pray that you be with her and meeting her needs. And, Lord, through companionship there and fellowship and, Lord, nurturing. But we pray for her physical health as well. Lord, for Brother Meldrum, we think of Brother Meldrum. We think of Kirk. Certainly we think of Tony's friend as well, that, Lord, you guide and direct there as these brain tumors seem to be something that is, maybe we're just becoming more aware of it, but Father, it just seems to be uncanny in that we're seeing so much of it happen. Lord, we pray that you'll guide and direct and meet all the needs of these individuals. Lord, I know the finances can be very tight, especially in Brother Meldrum's and Kirk and Julie's, Christie's case. So, Lord, won't you guide, won't you direct? Once again, Lord, open up your heart of compassion and meet the financial needs. Lord, the emotional and physical needs that surround the treatments and having to go alongside and sometimes feeling helpless because there's nothing you can do other than to bring it before the great physicians. Oh, Father, won't you guide and won't you direct? Lord, we think of Karen Smith tonight. We pray that you'll guide and direct in her life. Lord, the employment situation, the ankle situation, Lord, it just seems like one problem after another. And so, Lord, whatever message you want her to receive from these things here, Lord, may her heart be open. May her understanding be, and Lord, may she experience the wonderful hope that comes with serving you and faithfully, and we pray that you'll meet those needs there. We think of Tom's friend John with his esophageal cancer. Again, Lord, won't you meet the physical needs there? Sean, for Lord, not being able to get his surgery until sometime this coming spring. Lord, we pray that you'll make it possible for the doctors to be able to accomplish needs to be accomplished even then, that it won't be too late. Lord, we pray for, again, Stephanie's mom. Think of Lisa, Lord, we just pray that you guide and direct as she continues through the physical therapy, and Lord, as she makes her way with the family down there for this retreat, we pray that again, that Lord, not overdo it, but Lord, may she feel your strength and your presence. Lord, we think of the Parker family who will be traveling this weekend from various areas in the United States to converge in Pennsylvania, and Lord, it's never easy when you lose a parent. Lord, we just pray that you'll guide and direct, and that this will be a great time of celebrating his life in Christ. And Lord, if there's any unsaved members that would be there, that they would come to know Christ as a result of this. But Father, we just pray that you'll give each and every one traveling mercies as they make their way there. Lord, Tom's friend, kidney removal, we pray for Bob today that, again, you'll guide and direct there, that that'll come off the way it should, and that, Lord, if he doesn't know you, that he will come to know you through it. And so, again, Lord, won't you meet all these needs in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our missionaries all around the world. It's getting more and more dangerous in many areas for them, and we just pray that you would just have a hedge of protection around them. And we think especially of Pastor and Mrs. Chris Tigner in Ecuador, also Pastor and Mrs. Nathan Saint in Chile, Pastor and Mrs. Tim Brennan in Brazil, and also Pastor Mrs. Cryon Horton in Brazil as well. We just pray for these folks that you meet their spiritual needs, help them to reach not only the people that are in the culture there, but also the native culture that sometimes is harder to reach in some of these remote villages and stuff. We just pray that they would just have an inroad to these folks, and we would see a great victory in that area for people coming to know you as their Savior. And we pray for the folks also that are coming to know you in areas like Iran and even in Israel, as young people are turning to the Lord there in quite large numbers. So we're thankful for that. Pray that we could also start reaching people here in our United States again for the Lord. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we think of Pastor Jeff and Robin and Mitchell as they look for God's will for the next phase of his ministry. And Lord, by the same token, I think of the church that Pastor Jeff has left. Lord, I don't know who did what or how it all came about. Lord, we know that when there's a change of pastors, there's some dissension, there's some unhappiness, there's, I suppose, some joy. Lord, have your way with that former church and keep their doors open. Lord, whoever takes on the ministry there might get the foolishness under control and provide a lot of additional light that they so desperately seem to need. And we do think as Pastor Jeff is preaching somewhere to prove his mettle, if you will, that he'll have just the right message, the right approach, that a church somewhere will accept him with open arms, and that he and Robin can have a very successful ministry in the next phase of it. Now we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.